Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte, and I'm your very happy host today because, as much as I talk about this certain product, as much as I love it, we finally have gotten one of my dear friends, Jennifer Corral, brand ambassador for Fratelli Branca.
Hi, so happy to be here.
In the studio today. Woo! So we get to talk for 30 minutes about Fernet Branca, and I couldn't be happier, like I said. And welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm really excited to be here today. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on it with you. I feel honored.
The pleasure is all mine. Let's just get into it, because I know we have a lot to talk about today, and it's going to be a really happy conversation for me, anyway.
Me
I'm sure
too.
For you as well. So you represent Fratelli Branca.
That is correct.
In New York. Mm-hmm. And so the portfolio includes many great products.
The portfolio is beautiful. So the benchmark of the portfolio is Fernet Branca, which you love, and Branca Menta. We also have Carpano Antica, which is the world's first vermouth, and Punta Mas, Cannellini Grappas, and Cafe Borghetti and Sambuca Borghetti.
It's awesome.
It's beautiful. All from Italy, all made and distilled in Milano.
So let's just jump into it. Like, tell me about the history and the background of Fratelli Branca.
So Fratelli Branca started with Fernet Branca in 1845. Fernet Branca is a recipe by Bernardino Branca, and it was a recipe that was developed to help aid in digestion. And he also worked with Dr. Fernet, who was from Switzerland, to develop the recipe, and that's where we got Fernet Branca from. Fernet Branca has 27 herbs and additional 13 roots and spices, all going into a neutral grain-based spirit. It's also aged for 1 year in massive Slovenian oak casks, and the aging process is so some of those bitter roots and herbs can mellow and settle down. And we use hot maceration, cold maceration, infusions, everything into the neutral grain-based spirit to get Fernet Branca. And the recipe for Fernet Branca has remained unchanged since 1845 when it was developed.
And the cool thing is, like, we're talking, you know, obviously Fernet Branca has been around, you know, like I said, since 1845. This is mid-19th century where a lot of the spirits were still considered, most of them, like, more than something that you can, you know, get drunk off of or party with, you know. Yeah. They were, a lot of them, even like you see like old whiskey bottles and it says, you know, for medicinal use. And yeah, especially during Prohibition.
So, absolutely.
But like these different products, you know, were medicinal.
Mm-hmm. Fernet Branca is the same. That is why Bernardino Branca did want work with Dr. Fernet, was to make sure that all of the herbs and roots and spices that he picked for the formulation did have medicinal purposes, did have medicinal qualities. They all aid in digestion in some sort. So if you've overindulged in a heavy meal, they all help to settle the stomach and move everything through so the next day you don't feel so heavy and bloated and you can go about your business. And Fernet Branca, to the point of it being medicinal, so much so it was legally imported into the U.S. during Prohibition. Mm-hmm. I know that you have a bottle. I've seen a bottle myself where it does say Fernet Branca, legally imported for medicinal purposes, which, yeah, I think is really unique and really special. There's nothing artificial about Fernet Branca.
Absolutely. And, I mean, obviously you can tell that when you drink it.
Yeah.
So run me through a timeline throughout the history of Fernet Branca, like as far as like just like some of the bullet points of it, because like I know that like starts out in 1845. Mm-hmm. One of the earliest, you know, I'm a cocktail guy, so one of the earliest recipes that I've seen, like I believe it was actually in the 1862 Jerry Thomas book, there's one called The Italian Fizz, which I have on my brunch cocktail menu, which is Fernet Branca. It calls for Fernet Branca, Italian vermouth, and seltzer on the rocks with an orange twist. And it's really good with Carpano Antica.
It
you
is.
Know? So it's like the whole package for your company, you know? But throughout the history of like imbibing and cocktails, what are some of the main points that you think that where it was very like influential?
I mean, definitely through the early 1900s and into Prohibition, it being imported legally into the U.S. says something about the following that was already here. We also did used to have a distillery here in Tribeca for Fernet Branca, because it does have such a long-standing history within the United States. But I think the next major milestone for the company in regards to Fernet Branca would be in 1960 when we started to formulate Branca Menta. And that was one that we started to make in honor of Maria Callas, who is an opera singer who was based in Milan, and she would drink Fernet Branca with peppermint oil before going on stage every night. So in her honor, the Branca family and distillery started making Branca Menta. So in terms of a timeline for Fernet Branca, I would say like that would be the next major milestone.
You know, it's funny because I actually had a regular at my bar that she doesn't live here anymore, but but she would come in all the time, and she was like, why do you use Fernet Branca so much? That's weird. Like, I never, she's like, she worked in theater and on Broadway, and she was like, it's kind of crazy. She's like, the only other time that I've ever seen anyone drink Fernet Branca was when she was working for this actress, this Broadway actress, and she would always drink Fernet Branca before she went on stage to like
clear throat,
get her vocal cords loosened up, you know, whatnot. So I really appreciate that. And that's probably actually where she found that, you know, like from that story about Maria Callas, you know, like drinking it before she went on stage and started singing, belting it out for hours, you know. That's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, Fernet Branca, because it does have so many medicinal qualities and properties to it, not only does it help aid with digestion, but it just also helps to relax the body as a whole. So I think it would help her get into character and be able to do what she needs to do very effectively.
Here's something, and this is like my own theory on like drinking Fernet Branca. To me, there are certain types of different spirits and liqueurs and whatnot, that, especially like herbal ones, like a Fernet or an Amaro, you know. To me, they typically are a little bit lighter in alcohol. Fernet Branca is not.
It's
right up there with, it can hold its own with the rest of them.
It can definitely hold its own.
But there's something about the way that, like, when you're drinking an herbal liqueur like this, there's something about the way it actually hits your system.
Agreed.
You know, rather than like something heavier, like a whiskey or a cognac or whatnot. You know, like even gin has kind of some of the same qualities because it's an herbal kind
of thing. Botanicals.
Yeah.
So totally. I think anytime you use ingredients from nature, roots, herbs, spices, it's going to be better appreciated by the body than if you're using things that are like sugar and that it has to break down and process, because Fernet Branca is all natural. So there's nothing added to it that the body is going to have a hard time processing.
What are some of the botanicals that go into Fernet Branca?
One of them is aloe. That's one of the reasons why we do need to age it. We also have saffron. We have chinoa bark. We have whole, again, there's 27 herbs, roots, and spices. Echinacea. Sure. We have eucalyptus. We have peppermint. A lot of it we don't know. It's still a heavily guarded secret family recipe.
I heard once that Fratelli Branca controls like 70% of the world's saffron market.
Well, there's no way for us to be able to control the saffron market, but saffron is an ingredient in Fernet Branca. But there's no way for us to control an international market on an ingredient that's
traded.
I was
just hoping that was true, because it sounds really cool.
It does sound amazing, but then that would be like, there's chamomile in Fernet Branca too, and there's no way for, you know, us to be able to control the chamomile market either.
Well, I think the chamomile actually, like, kind of, because it has a very softening quality
so
to
beautiful.
It, so it probably really works with the a lot of people think of aloe as something you like put on your skin when you're sunburned.
Aloe's bitter.
It's bitter.
Yeah.
It's bitter. It's really lovely when it's chilled out, and that's of course why you age it for 12 months.
We do the aging, yeah.
So I think like the chamomile and aloe together, that's a lovely combination. So there have been a lot of developments lately, like over the past, I would say, like I was saying before, you know, like I found that I didn't find that cocktail recipe for the Italian Fizz in the Jerry Thomas book. I actually found it in another book called The Wild West Bartender's Bible, and it was it's a really cool book. It's out of print, I believe, now, but it has a lot of references to old cocktail books and a lot of other cool stuff, like old pages from the Brunswick Bulk Colander Company, you know, that made a lot of the bars back in the day, and all the fixtures and glassware and bitters bottles and whatnot. But that being said, when you look through, especially for something like this specific, it's cool to like go back and look at like old cocktail books where normally if it says like Italian vermouth or French vermouth, being like sweet or dry, what we call it nowadays, or cognac or, you know, whatever it may be, it never calls it out by name, by the brand name. And it's so cool when you're researching, like for me anyway, it's really cool when you're researching these old cocktails and you're looking at these old books, it's always like Fernet Branca.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not the only Fernet out on the market. There are quite a few of them out there.
There are, but it is the original Fernet.
Yeah, and it's so distinctive.
It's like, very distinctive. It's
a lot of them can be like sweeter or drier, and this one actually like, when you taste it, you're like, oh, that's Fernet Branca.
And I would imagine when the books were written, most of the Fernets that are on the market, if not all of them outside of Fernet Branca, were unavailable.
Sure.
Because for so long, Fernet Branca was the only Fernet on the market. And Fernet Branca is the brand that helped kind of create that subcategory in the Amaris. And most of the other Fernets that are made are actually made for the Argentinian market. I'm starting to see some other ones come from other countries. But Argentina is one of the largest consumers in the world of Fernet Branca. There's also a distillery for Fernet Branca down there. So they've taken on to that palate taste. But for a long, long time, the only Fernet on the market was Fernet Branca. And generally around the world, when people order a Fernet, if that's all they say, it's Fernet Branca.
Yeah. My friend Julian Brizzi, he owns a restaurant called Rucola.
Ah, I love that place.
Yeah.
It's in my neighborhood.
Yeah, totally. He's an awesome dude. Well, he and his wife, they travel to South America quite a bit. And like, it's always funny because like, whenever I'd go over to his house, he would have the 375 milliliter bottles of Fernet Branca that they brought back from like Argentina or Brazil or wherever. Mm-hmm. And he would always have it in his freezer. So we would just put it in a koozie and drink it like it was like a beer. But yeah, it's so awesome. And even like speaking of the Argentine market, there's like a pop song.
Yep.
Like there's this crazy phenomenon surrounding Fernet Branca where people are just fanatic about it. You know, like I said, there was the pop song Fernet con Coca that I was working with my friend Amanda Womack at Linnell's down in Red Hook when I was turned on to the song. We were just drinking Fernet Branca and being like, we were like dancing around to this
catchy
song.
It's fun.
It was like 6 years ago. We were just like dancing around on repeat on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, here we got the one from San Francisco playing. DJ Quipto, I Drink Fernet.
Yeah.
And both of these songs were very organic.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is like,
people love it.
And the brand didn't like approach these people
not
to
at
do
all.
It.
Not
we're
at
just
all.
Like, I freaking love this. And
Fernet Branca has such a unique following of people that love it for the brand and for its history, and especially its advertising campaigns throughout the years.
Absolutely.
Beautiful, beautiful, cutting edge for its time. And also quintessential Italian in that it was very sexy and classy, beautifully well done.
Well, the packaging alone, like that's one of the first things that turned me on to it, because my background is actually in graphic design. And when I saw that, I was like, wow, like it's so cool when you, and I feel like a lot of brands nowadays, they try to repackage to like somewhat come up to speed to like the consumer markets, and they use that as a way to increase sales. But it's like, you know, especially in this day and age for like the types of restaurants we go to, and the bars we hang out at, and like down to even the furniture we have in our house. You know, it's like there's a certain style of classic style that we really appreciate, and that one's been that way.
It is the benchmark. And what is interesting, when I was at the distillery about a month ago, in the museum, there's about 300 bottles of Imposter Fernets, and they really are trying to be Fernet Branca, because even their labeling is trying to mimic Fernet Branca. By if you just happen to visually glance at it, maybe you're gonna pick up the wrong bottle. But Fernet Branca is to the test of time with its labeling and its packaging, and that was actually done by a woman who really helped to revitalize it in the late 1800s and the brand. And I mean, it's just it's timeless.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, it is timeless. Yeah. I have it tattooed on my chest, so like it is. It's gonna be there for a while.
Just a little bit.
I hope they don't repackage. On that note, there's a saying on the back of the bottle that always like really strikes a chord with me. It says, "Excellence knows no oceans, no frontiers," and that's really kind of like mission statement for the brand. And it's like,
it is.
It's cool because it's an eagle. Delivering like one of the most iconic like the thing that stuck in my head originally was like, wow, there's an eagle delivering a bottle of medicine around the world.
Well, and part of how so the cool. motto came about too is Fernet Branca is an Italian product. It's an Italian recipe, but all of the herbs, roots, and spices come from five continents around the world. So it really is all encompassing, global. And that's also what the eagle represents, is bringing all of those different elements together through Italy and then spreading the love back out into the world again.
Yeah. Speaking of spreading the love, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, let's talk about the bar back
games. Yes, the bar back games. So much fun. Cool.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking with Jennifer Corral, brand ambassador for Fertile Branca in New York. And we will be right back.
You're listening to Easy Riding Child by Brothers on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Go to sleep, child, in the morning I'm gone. Because 12 hours here is 12 hours too long. 30 odd years, man, was like a crystal red. Missing name, missing child, and your sister. 30 odd years, man, I've always known. Trouble always starts on that open road. Trouble always starts on that open road. I'm easy.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org today. Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit www.surreyfarms.com.
And we're back. You've been listening to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte, and in the studio today, I have my dear friend, Jennifer Corral from Fratelli Branca. We've been talking Fernet Branca, and like I said at the top of the show, like I'm very, very happy about this conversation that we're having.
Me too.
So we spoke on the first part of the show about some of the history of Fernet Branca and the Fratelli Branca company, and let's speed it up to modern times.
All right,
let's talk about what's going on these days. I love that I had the opportunity to be a judge.
We're privileged to have you. Thank you.
For the Fernet Branca Bar Back Games, mm-hmm. which is such a badass idea.
It's a lot of fun. So that developed out of the San Francisco market about 5 years ago.
Let's go for a second. Let's talk, like, how did San Francisco become, like, the epicenter of, like, Fernet Branca in the United States?
It is epicenter. So Fernet Branca used to get kind of smuggled back into San Francisco about 100 years ago by Italians who would go back to the motherland, so to speak, and then go back to San Francisco. San Francisco has North Beach, which is an Italian neighborhood. More Italian than today's New York of Nolita or even Arthur Avenue. It's still very Italian. And so they lived there 100 years ago, still coming in, smuggling it in. And then I would put it back to about probably, I was first introduced to Fernet Branca 10 years ago in an old school bar called Tosca in San Francisco, opened during Prohibition. Shortly thereafter that, two bartenders opened up a bar, and it was, for this generation, the first bar that was owned and operated by bartenders. One of their fathers was a bartender in North Beach, and so had been drinking Fernet forever, and had passed that down to his son, and, you know, it had kind of spread a little bit within the bartending community and servers. But then after our bar opened up, it really blew up, and for a long time, they had the top sales, if not the top sales, of Fernet Branca in North America. And it was an industry-loved bar, and everybody wants to drink what the bartender's drinking, whether you're a bartender or a consumer sure. or a waiter or a server, like whatever it is. And it just kind of spread from there is like what I would relate it to. But it definitely is the epicenter, and I was introduced to it in San Francisco living there. 2 weeks later, I was in Las Vegas, and I barely turned 21 and was asking for it in Vegas, and people looked at me like I was crazy. And I was like, no, like, what do you mean you don't have Fernet Branca? Like, you need to have it. Because in San Francisco, even then, it was just, it was everywhere. Your local dive bar and your North Beach bar and your cocktail bar that, you know, really wasn't cocktail yet.
I love regionally driven, like, spirits traditions, you know. It's, and that one's huge in San Francisco. Yeah. But there was an article, I want to say it was about a year and a half ago. I think it, I won't say who it was because I don't know if I can righteously quote this. But it was an article about Fernet Branca and the growth in the New York market. Okay. And it was saying that it had grown by 50% over 1 year. And that we were like starting to edge up on San Francisco, which especially places like here, like at Roberta's and like my bar, like
I would say that
we sell a lot of Fernet, but we probably just buy a lot of Fernet.
There's another bar in New York that says the same thing. I won't name them by name, but
I'll hold them to the challenge. But yeah, I mean, like, it's cool, you know. Even with like Argentina, you know, their whole thing is Fernet con Coca, so it's like Fernet and Coke. Mm-hmm. And then with San Francisco, of course,
it's the ginger back,
which I like because, like,
well, here's the thing.
I like multiple glassware.
The Fernet Branca that we get in the U.S. comes from Italy. The Fernet Branca that they're drinking in Argentina is made in Argentina. And while the recipe for the herbs, roots, and spices is the same, the base spirit is different, which is, you know, why theirs works well with Fernet con Coca and why ours from Italy, Fernet Branca, works so well with the gingerback. I was introduced to it, actually, shaken with cherry juice and then strained and served as a shot. Yeah, so Fernet Branca and cherry, tart cherry, an amazing pairing and very unexpected.
I am embarrassed to say that I've never tried. I feel like I've tried every mixture of Fernet Branca.
It was maraschino cherry juice, like from the little cup, you know, your garnishes, that was poured into the shaker tin. On that, like, I had it chilled and then strained, and I mean, I was hooked ever since.
Well, that's what we're going to be drinking after the show, then, because I have to try it.
Oh, yeah, you definitely have to try it.
If it has Fernet in it, and it's drinkable, already had it.
Yeah, it's really good.
But, yeah, like, so this phenomenon grows from...
And very organically it's grown.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And so, exactly, because you've never really, like, pushed on the advertisement, even though the advertisement... Like especially like the 1960s advertisements from Argentina.
Advertisements, but we've never pushed it to the consumer to be mainstream, so to speak. I mean, you definitely want to advertise your brand and like showcase what you're doing, but also a lot of those advertisements were geared for the Italian market and not for overseas, where it's really starting to see a strong growth. It's just happened very organically. I think what makes it unique is there is nothing else like it on the market. And I often have people tell me, like, the first time they're like, oh, no. The second time, they're like, The third time, they're like, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's for an acquired taste for Fernet Branca. Branca Menta is amazing, and it's, you know, really good to introduce people to the brand. But that's only been around since 1960. And it's like, we've really built everything with Fernet Branca.
I mean, I understand, like, the Branca Menta is an introductory kind of process for people who wouldn't necessarily like Fernet Branca. And if they tried it on the first try, they might not revisit it for a second try?
Correct.
Well,
Branca Menta is great.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, to me, since I started with Fernet Branca, it's like Branca Menta can be a little on the sweet side for me, even though it's very refreshing when it's chilled, you know, and I love the machines.
The chill shot.
But the chilling machines, those are great. But what we do as a tradition at my bar, and it started to spread around the neighborhood we call it the hard start because it's like, you know, from riding motorcycles and driving old cars, it's like when you're just having a rough day and it's like, all right, I'm at work now. It's like, gotta do a hard start, you know? So we do equal parts Fernet and Branca Menta, and it's like, all right, let's go.
It's so good too. It's very refreshing, but it still has that like, let's do this.
Oh shit! So let's talk about the. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, like, the bar bat games.
If we start talking about Fernet Branca anymore, I mean, like, I'll just start trailing off. But the bar bat games.
Yeah, so the bar bat games started in San Francisco about 5 years ago, and it was the idea of the market manager and the brand ambassador for Fernet Branca, because every bartender, as you know, is only as strong as their bar back. And a lot of time bar backs don't get the support and the love and respect outside of their bar that they deserve. You know, most bartenders recognize it, but consumers or guests at the bar, they don't see how much goes into being a bar back and how much they facilitate you being able to do what you do on a daily basis. So it was Fernet Branca's way of showing we appreciate, we support, we respect all of the hard work that you're doing. Let's put something together that celebrates you, the bar back, the backbone of a bar. And that's how the bar back games have grown. And this will be the 5th year in San Francisco. It's coming up December 2nd. And it's also the first year that it's gone national. So we had it in San Diego earlier in the year. We had it in New York mid-late September. We're having it in Boston coming up on Election Day, actually, on that Tuesday. And the winners of New York.
Good way to spend the election day.
Yeah, right? you're going to need something after you go and vote. So, you know, wait while the tallies come in. And the winners of San Diego, New York, and Boston are all getting flown out to San Francisco to compete to earn and win the title of Fernet Branca Best Bar Back in the Country, which is going to be an amazing honor for whoever gets to take that one. So we're really looking forward to that.
And it's so cool because, like you said before, you know, like, a bartender is only as good as their bar back, and I've never actually gotten a chance to work with very many bar backs, but when I do, I'm just like,
they bust
their
butts.
Oh my god,
yeah,
you guys are amazing.
Yeah,
you mean I don't have to like run and get my own ice?
They're running and getting your ice. They're restocking your beers. They're making
refilling
sure.
your juices. Yeah, I mean, like, it's a tough job. And, you know, the cool thing is, like, in the past on this show, a lot of the big names in bartending, they've, you know, started out as dishwashers, bar backs, you know, baristas, whatever. And, you know, it's a really cool thing to be able to feature that part of the industry, because a lot of times it gets overlooked.
It does.
It's a real job.
It's integral. And I think that a lot of the industry respects those roles. I think that it's great for the consumer to see how important that role is to the bar that they love going to. Because a strong bar back will also anticipate your needs before you know they need them. You know, they're seeing what you're pouring into your mixing tin and you're shaking the glass or, you know, whatever that you're going to be doing, and get your garnishes ready for you and your glassware out and like.
It's like, oh, I've seen like 40 margaritas go out. He's probably going to need, or he or she is probably going to need lime juice in a second, you know.
Yeah, like totally. Whatever it could be.
That's awesome. And that's like a really cool. It's a really cool thing that you guys have done to highlight that part of the industry. And also, it's a really fun competition to attend.
It's so much fun. It's a lot of fun to attend. You get to cheer on your favorite bar backs from your favorite bars, or, you know, enjoy Fernet Branca, just have fun. I mean, it's action-packed, and you got to be a judge, so you really got to experience it from a unique perspective. How was that for you?
That was a lot of fun. The parts I remember. it was a really, really cool time. To me, like, it was, you know, because, well, for our listeners, it was at
Webster Hall,
and the whole like floor area. Obviously, mm-hmm. it's like a tiered mezzanine system. It's a rock and roll, like it's a venue. It's a big.
It actually used to be Al Capone's home.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't live there, but that's where he conducted a lot of his business. Webster Hall has such an amazing history to New York.
And that's great that you guys picked that place. That was really cool. That's a really nice move. You know, but the floor area where it would be like standing room for concerts and whatnot, that was covered with tires.
Yep.
It was like boot camp. And like that's really what it is. I mean, like, bar backing is like boot camp for bartending.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Fernet Branca bar back game. So it's kind of like Fernet Branca meets bar backing, meets, you know, one-on-one style competition, but you're competing against 16 people and you're running through tire formations and you're restocking beer and you're restocking kegs and, you know, it's hands-on, ice, everything. You're bumping in and running into each other as you're running through trying to get through the obstacle course. It's a lot of fun.
Everyone had so much fun. That was the coolest thing about that. You know, everyone was just, like, loving each other and, like...
Yeah, people were
competing.
Engaged.
It was a really cool night.
Yay.
And the thing is, like, with Fernet Branca, to me, I mean, I was turned on to it about, I don't know, 10, 11 years ago from my friend Ray Pruitt. He's an actor, and he'd been turned on to it when he was out in San Francisco, and I was turned on to it in Oklahoma. And
wow, and they had it in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. And he was like, you have to try this. I'm like, yeah, of course I will. I'll try anything.
Yeah.
But the first time I tasted it, I was like, I can see where a lot of people might need a second chance on this, but I was immediately like turned on to it.
Usually about the third time, if somebody's experiencing Fernet Branca by itself, that they're like, okay, I get it.
Well, exactly. And like to me, it's like it's so unique in flavor profile. Mm-hmm. And it's never, I guess going back to like the way that you were turned on to it by a friend and like so was I. It's like it's a unique, like it's often called the bartender's handshake.
Definitely.
You know, and it's if you're drinking Fernet Branca with a friend, it's like, all right, we get each other.
Yeah.
And we all get this.
Yeah. You know? It's something that you want to share with those who you enjoy being around because it's something that gets really close to people's hearts. I mean, as you know, you have the tattoo on over your chest, over your heart. Like, once you get it, you love it, I think, forever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I wish we had, you know, another 5 hours to talk about this because I could go for days actually on this subject, but unfortunately we're at the end of our show.
Okay.
You know, excellence knows no oceans, no frontiers, and
Fernet Branca. Yeah,
that's Fernet Branca, and I'm so glad that you came on the show today.
So happy
and
to be here.
Please come around again if you'd
definitely
like.
Would love to.
All right. Yeah. Well, you've been listening to the Speakeasy. Our friend Jennifer Corral from Fratelli Branca has been nice enough to join us and share some Fernet, even though we didn't talk about that on the air. But check it out. If you enjoy life, you will probably enjoy Fernet Branca.
Most definitely you will.
<All right>.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. Heritage Radio Network is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.